tuned to New Sound Radio. 92 FM. This is the Community Hour. And I'm Pete Day. Now, official figures show that there's been a marked increase in recent years of people on low wages, what's sometimes called in-work poverty. Now, a lot of us in London, and East London in particular, go to work rather than rely on benefits, but we still find it hard to make ends meet. Now, the Trust for London, working with researchers from Queen Mary College, have been looking at the issue of people on the government's set minimum wage and the effects of raising them to the higher London living wage level. Now, earlier on, I met up with Professor Jane Wheels from Queen Mary University of London, and I asked her, well, just how big a problem is low pay in London?
Well, amazingly enough, we're talking about one in five workers in London, according to official statistics, now not getting the London living wage, which at the present time is £8.30 an hour.
And when you say London living wage, I've heard of things like national minimum wages. Can you explain what the difference between those are?
Yeah, well, you're right. There is a national minimum wage, and that's determined by the government, and it applies to the whole country, and every employer has to abide by it. And then there's another thing called the living wage, which started in London, which is why we've got a London living wage, and that's calculated on the basis of what it actually costs to live. So if you add up all the core expenditure in any household, the figure tells you that you need at least £8.30 an hour to put food on the table and support a family in London.
So let's get this right. There's the national minimum wage, and that is a figure that I understand it's illegal not to pay that amount of money. Yeah. And then there's this other one, the London living wage. Now, is there any sort of legal constraints on that?
No. The living wage is voluntary, but it's been used as a campaigning tool to say to employers that can pay, and lots of the employers in London can pay, they should pay. So to make it a kind of moral minimum.
And exactly how much are these two set at?
At the present time, the national minimum wage is £6.18 an hour. It's just gone up. It used to be £6.08. And the London living wage is £8.30 an hour. But it's going to go up because it's living wage week. 5th of November, Boris Johnson's going to announce the new living wage rate, which will be somewhere higher than £8.30 an hour.
OK, thinking in terms of that, though, it's not really a great deal of difference. We're talking about £2 an hour. Does that really make a great deal of difference to a family?
Well, it's 36% difference between the two rates. And that, if you said to any average worker, would you like a 36% pay rise? They would say yes. And if you're low wage, it makes more of a difference because you're counting every penny and bills are going up very, very rapidly. And so that extra £2 an hour can make a massive difference to a household.
Now, OK, well, that's from the employee's point of view, yeah, from the worker's point of view. But how about from the people who pay the wages, the employers? I mean, why should they do this?
Well, there's different cases here because there's some employers who can really afford it. So if you think about most of the big banks, say, at Canary Wharf, one of the case studies we looked at, the cleaning and catering contract, came to 0.6% of their overall budget. And so for them, paying the living wage was a very small extra cost. And it was something that they could easily afford, and they felt it was the right thing to do.
And have there been any benefits for employers as well?
Definite benefits. So that if you just measure labour turnover rate, which is the number of people coming and going in the contract, that has fallen. Across the case studies, it varied a great deal how much it fell, but it fell by a quarter on average across all of them. So that means you're recruiting quarter less staff every year, so you're not wasting so much management time, you're not buying new uniforms, doing induction, all that kind of stuff. So that's an obvious benefit. But interestingly, we also looked at psychological benefit. So how people feel about themselves, their self-esteem, whether they feel valued. And we looked at the living wage workers and the non-living wage ones, and the living wage ones felt better about themselves. They have better psychological health, which does tend to translate into turning up for work, doing a better job, feeling better about yourself when you do it. So there were definite benefits.
And how about in terms of government? Are there any sort of benefits for government in all this?
Interestingly, our research put government in as a kind of sideline, and it came out as the top potential beneficiary. Because your listeners will know that a lot of people are in low-paid work, they're still getting benefits because you can't afford to live. on the minimum wage, say, with two or three children in the household, paying current rents and so on. So we've got tax credits have been coming in to top up people's wages. If you pay people more money in their wage packet rather than through the benefit bill, the benefit bill goes down. And we said, so we looked at all the figures for London, and we said if all the workers who are not getting the living wage currently, one in five people, went on to the living wage, it would save the Treasury about £1 billion a year. So £1 billion just from London adopting the living wage across the board. So you can imagine across the UK as a whole, that is a very large saving at a time of austerity.
And also, I suppose, they would be paying tax and national insurance on this additional money as well.
I should say, actually, that's not just the benefit saving, it's also because they would be paying more in tax and national insurance, yeah.
Now, of course, what some people would say is, and it was the argument put forward when the national minimum wage was introduced, is that, well, people would just be priced out of jobs. There would be things like call centres that would be going to, well, rather than embarking, they go over to Bombay. Isn't this going to be the case if you increase people's low wages?
That has obviously been a concern. But things like cleaning, care, catering, groundwork, security can't be relocated unless someone has to do them. So they're jobs that are safe in the sense they're very grounded. They have to be done. And you have to, if you pay more for them, you might look at efficiencies and so on and the way the job's done. But you can't get rid of all your cleaners because otherwise London will start sinking into a great big pile of dirt. So there's a case for the fact that the jobs are not mobile, making the living wage more salient as a solution to in-work poverty and so on.
And finally, yeah, if there's one thing that could be done to help people on low wages in London, what would that be?
I think paying the living wage would be a very important step, because obviously it's still a low, it's not a massive wage, £8.30. It's not astronomical, and you would still struggle to support yourself and your family on £8.30 an hour. But it would be a very significant gesture in the right direction so that people can go to work and earn enough money to support themselves and their family. It's a modest request, but it's also very significant. And it would also tell people in London that people appreciate the work that they're doing. They value the low-paid jobs that we all require to make our city function.
Jane Wills, thanks for joining us here on New Sound Radio 92 FM.
You're very welcome. Thanks.
And next week has been designated Living Wage Week, and the new rate for the London Living Wage will be announced. Now, of course, quite a few employers, including local councils, even banks and other private companies, have signed up to pay the London Living Wage. If you want to find out more about the campaign, or maybe you want your employer to become a Living Wage employer, or maybe you're an employer who wants to pay your employees the London Living Wage, a good starting point would be to contact the Living Wage Foundation. And you can find their website, as you would expect, called livingwage.org.uk. So that's livingwage.org.uk. Or also, of course, the other thing, there's also quite a lot of the trade unions also are involved in this campaign as well. Okay, stay tuned, because after the break, we've got a special report on some pensioners who went down last weekend down to the Westfield Shopping Centre to stay warm. Stay tuned.
के बिजनेस को चार चांद लगाने के लिए आज ही न्यू साउंड रेडियो को फोन करें। फोन 02084722999